Hey, church, how are we doing today? Did you enjoy that time of praise and worship there? Come on. I did. I needed it. How many of y'all needed that? Come on. Hey, if I haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself, I'm Rick Paladin, lead pastor, Bridge City Church, and just so awesome to be here, so awesome of all God is doing as he expands his kingdom and builds his church, and he continues to do what Jesus does best. Jesus said he was going to build his church, and how many of y'all know if God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it? Come on, he don't need our permission, but he's going to do it. Come on, and I'm just rejoicing with you all here. Pastor Eric's going to share some things with you in just a little bit about changes and transitions here at Bridge City Church, Murraysville. And I'm not going to steal his thunder, but I'm going to allow him to share. But I'm here because there's joy in the house of the Lord. We're one heart, we're one voice, we're one one breath. I lost it in my head now. We're just one. Come on, somebody. Is that good? Yeah. And so I'm just so excited. Heavenly Father, come on, be with us here, Lord. I'm straight from heaven to my ears, Lord God, through my heart, to my mouth, Lord God, to every ear, to every heart, to every mind, to every, Lord God, person, the way they walk. Change us and transform us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 4. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard this verse before? Maybe saw it on a cup usually a coffee mug, right? Or somebody's office. You know, you can tell they have a rough job when they have this on their office. Yeah. So if you have a rough job, this is it right here. Now, let's say this out loud together. Here we go. Y'all ready? This is the word of God, right? Philippians chapter 4, 13. Y'all agree with that? Okay, here we go. Here we go. There's a lot of different translations coming out there. Come on. There's a little bit of those. That was interesting. Come on. Now, how many of y'all believe that you can do all things through Christ? How many of y'all believe that you can forgive people? How many of y'all believe you can live for Jesus at your workplace, regardless of the people you work with? Come on. How many of y'all believe you can live for Jesus where you live on your street? Come on. How many of y'all believe you can, there's friends and family that you want to see them meet Jesus in a real way? Okay, how many of y'all believe that you can give 10% of your money to Jesus? Okay, very good. Come on, that was good. Come on. Hey, what's the point? I'm going to share with you today about tithing. What's really in the Bible about giving and tithing? And this verse is something we usually believe until we don't. We usually believe this verse until we don't. And I was like, I don't believe that no more. There's always something in our minds that we believe until we believe it, until I don't think I believe it anymore. And I believe that for somebody else, but not for me. So I really want to uncover today this thing called tithing. I mean, if you come to church, it happens like every time you come to church. Have you noticed there's an offering every time you come to church? Pretty consistent. And they use this word tithes and offerings. And so what is this thing? What's this thing called a tithe? And so why am I bringing this up? Because one of the reasons is in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you rejected knowledge. And in about 40% of the church in most studies say they understand what tithing or what giving is financially. And 60% of the people really don't have in church. I'm not talking about the people in your neighborhood or the people you work with. I'm talking about people in church. Only like 60% do not have a biblical understanding and knowledge of how to give to honor God. And how many of y'all want to honor God? Okay, now I'm really thankful because I learned about tithing, this thing called tithing, and giving to God at a very young age. Now, in the mid to late 1900s, they had these things called paper boys. How many of y'all remember paper boys? Come on. You can show your age. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, I remember. I did that. You were one? How many of y'all were paper boys or paper girls? I'm sorry. Yeah, come on. Okay. And so I started delivering papers at about 8 years old. And why? My parents, let me out, like 2 hours, go wander around the neighborhood and deliver papers. Nowadays, you wouldn't think that. You'd think, you got to be 15, 16, 18 before you do that. I mean, at 8 years old, I started. And I'd come home with my money. I started, I remember, about $8 a week I would make, and I'd count it all out and have to pay for the papers and do all these things. And my mom taught me about tithing. And I wasn't even a Christian right then. We were going to church. We were going to Catholic church. And she would put, because there's lots of change on the table, and she would count it all out. And she goes, okay, how much did you make? And count it out. And then she would count out 10%. And she would say, okay, this is going to the church. This is going. And like, I want to let you know, she never asked me if that was an option. Okay, she never did. And then I remember her saying, it's like at $8, 10% was 80 cents. And I remember her always saying this. She goes, in this family, we round up. I never questioned it. I round up. I said, there's a dollar. Come on. So I started with a dollar, then made $10 a week and gave a dollar. And then I got my first job making $2 an hour. It made $12 a week. Come on, son. I was a rich man. Making $12. And then it was $1.20. But I don't know if you know, like, rounding up from 80 cents to a dollar is one thing, but $1.20 to $2, that's a whole different thing, okay? You're talking about four candy bars back in the mid-70s. Come on. And so then, you know, it was just like on and, you know, I just learned how to tithe. It was just part of my life. And then when I went to nursing school, I was only making about $35 a week to live on going through nursing school. I just normally tithe. I'd give, you know, $4 and always would have a dollar extra to give to a special offering. And I'm just thankful that I just learned it from a young age. It always was a part of my life. I learned it. That's what I did. That's who I was. And God was honored, and it's all good. But unfortunately, there's many people in the room right now. You meet Jesus, and you want to serve Jesus, right? I mean, you're just trying to figure out who God is. And then they bring up this whole offering thing. And it's like, you know, what's that all about? But I want to let you know, I don't give or never have given out of obligation. I give out of anticipation and expectation of what God is going to do by faith. You see, if we're given only obligation, it becomes a tax. But if we're given out of anticipation and expectation of what God is going to do, that's exciting. I mean, I'm excited. Why? Because when you take a step of faith, the Bible communicates in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that it's impossible to please God without faith. See, and most of us have a need-oriented God, not a faith-oriented God. Most of us in the room think God is moved by need. He's not moved by your need. He's moved by faith. So if God is moved by faith, what do you think he asks us to do? Live by? Yeah. Not by according to our needs. So even in anticipation and what God is going to do here in this location over the next 3 months, we're giving and we're joyfully giving out of anticipation and expectation that God's going to do something awesome. Not only for me, but for him. Because if it's only for me, that's so small and so insignificant. Are you with me? But when I'm giving for him, it's a joy. It is a huge joy, and I'm loving that here. So common questions about this thing called tithing. Common questions here. Isn't it in the Old Testament? Did Jesus ever teach it? Wasn't there more than one tithe? Yes, it actually equaled almost like 24%. If you really look at all the different offerings, the way they came together, aren't tithing and giving the same? But the biggest question that's not up here, the biggest one is right here. I'm going to give it to you. What if I can't afford to tithe? What if I can't afford it? There's three ways you make Christians feel condemned right away. Did you pray enough this week? No. Right? Did you tell people about Jesus? They're all going to hell. You better tell people about it. No, condemned. And the last one, are you giving enough to Jesus? No. Those are the three biggest areas we feel condemned in. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to try to communicate to you biblical knowledge and how I came to my conclusions so you can come to a conclusion that's life-giving and sets you free. How many of y'all want to be free? So what do we do if we can't afford it? That's the biggest one. That's the biggest tension there. I'm going to cover that in just a little bit. I'm going to tell you how I learned it right now. Just simple answer. When I came to this church, and I start coming here in my teens, it was like this. If you can't afford to tithe, you can't afford not to. Because if you're such in a mess, you might as well go ahead and give it to God, because there's no help. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I mean, that's how it's not. Like, just give it to him and he'll do something with it. And I've watched God do that over the years. Okay, so what's tithing? Let's give you a little bit of definition here. Tithing is a free will offering. It's free will. Nobody makes you do it. Nobody commands you to do it. It's free will. You have a free will. I believe in the free will of God. I believe that with all my heart. And then it's faith-filled. Faith. I just give out of faith. I believe God. I believe in him. And then it's a first fruit offering. So we believe it's free will, it's faith-filled, and it's first fruits. That's it. So giving. So what does a tithe really mean? What's the definition? A tithe means a tenth part. It means a tenth. It occurs 32 times in the Old Testament here. I give you a whole list of scriptures. It's holy. It's done first. It belongs to God. Bring it into the storehouse. I'm going to explain that in just a minute here. But it's so if you make $100, 10% is how much? Yeah, if you make 1,000, if you make 10,000, if you make 100,000, how many of you are like, that's faith, come on. Yeah, how many of y'all want to be in that club? Come on, yeah. Yeah, okay. So you get the picture, though. It's move the decimal, okay? And it belongs to God. And so this is the Old Testament here. There's a lot of references here in the Old Testament. The first one, though, is really interesting. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Abram, which became Abraham, a father in the faith, in the Jewish faith, okay, he gave a tenth to Melchizedek, okay? Melchi is a type of Christ, okay? And he gave all the goods that he recovered. So this is the first mention. When you study the Bible, you have to go to the first mention. This is the first time it's mentioned. That's a biblical study helps, okay? First mention. And what we see here, it was his first response when he recovered something. His first response was to give. First response. It was first fruits. I believe in the first fruits giving there. And it predates the law. It predates the law. Everybody says, well, Jesus came, he died on the cross to free us from the law. I believe how many of y'all believe in that the Ten Commandments are not just good suggestions, we should do them? Right? I mean, how many of you we should do them? Y'all with me? Okay, we're in good shape here. You got a good basis here. Good, come on. And so we have a good basis to move forward here. Okay, so it predates the law. So if you look at all these things, you look at the first mention, the first fruits, it was a free will, okay, his first response. That to me is how giving should be. Okay, nobody goes in, when you become a member of the church, we don't like ask you for your bank account and say, okay, we're going to do weekly deductions. Okay, we don't do that. It's a free will offering. You joyfully give. We joyfully give these things. So that's the first part of the 10% here, okay? We're giving to God here. Now, I want to go to a text in Malachi in the Old Testament. And then I'm going to link Malachi and what I just communicated to you into the New Testament with Jesus, okay? Just so you know where I'm going here, okay? So Malachi chapter 3, God's people are coming out of exile. And they're coming back to God, okay? Coming back to God. They're coming back into the revelation of God here. God's people. He's speaking to God's people. He said, okay, Malachi, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. And then here's the big key. Return to me. Everybody say, return to me. Return to me. And God says, I'm going to return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? So he says, okay, return to me. And they're like, okay, well, how should we return? How are we really going to return to you? There's so many ways that we can return to God. And so in this context here, what I believe he's talking, because God's people sometimes forget the greatness of God. How many of y'all, like, I need worship, I need praise and worship in my life. You know why? Because I need reminded of how great God is. Because I live in the same messed up, screwed up, jacked up world you live in. Filled with chaos and confusion. And I need to be reminded of God's goodness. And when I get reminded of God's goodness, my perspective changes. Okay? See, I want to let you know, like people say this a lot, like, well, it sounds like all the church and all you want is you just talk about money. You want money. And I just want to let you know it's far worse than that. Way worse. Way worse. Way worse. Jesus wants your whole life. He wants your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Right? So if you think all he wants is your money, and you think all we want, no. We want your gift to be used for God, because you have a destiny inside of you. Your gift to be used for God, right? That's what we want for you. Okay? We want your time to be used. We want your family to bless God. We want you as a person to honor God. Come on, are you with me? We want your whole life to honor God. Not just your transaction with God. It's your heart. It's my heart. I'm gonna return, and I'm gonna be with him here. Verse 8 there, will man rob God? You're robbing me. How have we robbed you in your tithes and your contributions? Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. How many of y'all know when God says you're under a curse, it's not good? You don't have to be a biblical theologian. Come on. Come on, am I right? See, you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? And there's people in the room, I'm trying to help you, okay? I want you to live free. I want you to live in the freedom that God's designed you to live in, but we got to get out from under the curse. The curses are all kinds of crazy things on your life. Most of the curses in our lives, really, they're just mindsets that you grew up with and you learned. How many of you grew up in Southwestern Pennsylvania? How many of you grew up in Southwestern Pennsylvania? Okay. There's a whole mindset that goes with that. There really, really is. There's a mindset. I mean, it's a curse. Come on, we need to get free. And I grew up really not far from here. I grew up really, really close actually to here in Lovell Green, real close. And I can say that. But there are mindsets that we have that are contrary to God's will. And so what we're really trying to learn is, what does God's will want? What does he want? So I can have a free will to obey that. Okay? So that's what he's communicating here, robbing God. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody were to rob your house, every time you went out, somebody would break a window and go into your house and rob you. Day after day after day after week after month, how many of you would just say, oh, they probably had a need? How many of you would do that? It's like, oh, the poor people. I tell you, well, let's just leave the door open next time. How many of y'all would do that? I wouldn't do that. I would put bars up on the window, right? And I would get a big dog, and I don't even like dogs. And I wouldn't feed the dog until you came in. You see, if you continue to rob somebody over and over and over, if you really believe this, how do you think God's view of this is? Think about that. I want you to feel that tension right there. Okay? I want you to feel the tension here, and you're cursed with a curse, and we're robbing you. See, the tithe, I believe, it's the first fruits. It's the first thing we give to God. It belongs to him. And so when I take that, okay, I'm robbing from him. So when we give 10%, I'm returning to God what's already his. I'm returning to him what's already his. It belongs to him. It's for his kingdom expansion and church building. Okay, it's already his. He owns it. I'm returning it to him. Now, how many of y'all own a car? Now, if I were to borrow your car, how many of you would actually lend me your car? Okay, I'll see you right after here. Okay, but if you lent me your car, and then I came on church, and I said, hey, I'll give it back to you at church, and I came in with your keys, and I wouldn't say to you, guess what? I got you a car. Here's the keys. You'd say, no, it's yours, right? That would just be returning to you what is already yours. So when we return to God what is already to his, we're giving back to him what's already his. Now, if I say, I washed it and waxed it and detailed it and filled it up with gas. See, that's an offering. You return to God the 10%. The offering is above that. See, this is the difference. Many people say, well, I do tithe. No, you're given an offering, which is great, and I'm very appreciative, because we have to start with our faith somewhere. We all grow in faith. And if it's faith giving, okay, we grow in faith. How many of y'all remember the first time you prayed? Remember the first time you prayed out loud and it was like, it was clunky and it was like, oh my gosh, it didn't sound like other people were who really holy. Like there's those people that sound holy when they pray. And then there's you, right? Right? Come on, I'm being honest. It's like, oh, don't make me pray after that person, you know. But you did it and your heart's racing. It's like, oh, I did it because you offered up something faith to God. And giving is the same way. When you give to God and you give him that first time, it's faith, it's joy. It's exhilarating because you're experiencing something that only God can do for you. It's God moving in my life. I'm returning it here. So I don't want to be cursed. And what I'm trying to do is get God, get the curse off of your life and off of your finances. Step by step and day by day here. Let's go on, verse 10. And bring the full tithe into the storehouse, into the storehouse, into the storehouse. And I'm going to leave that up there. And in Deuteronomy 14:22, bring the tithe to the designated place of worship. Wait a minute, that's Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the first like two-thirds of the Bible there, they brought their tithe to an actual physical structure, and they brought it to a temple, a sanctuary. In the New Testament, Our lives right here together make up the temple of God. So it hasn't changed. We still bring the tithe. We still bring our offering into the whole. Now it's not just a place, this physical structure. It's our lives together united is where we give it. I thought that was pretty cool. No, see, people say, well, that was the old. No. See, God, the only thing that changed from the Old Testament to the New is now we have hearts that are changed. And it's not just a ritual, it's a relationship with God that we get to have by faith. That's the joy of it here. So that's the storehouse here. And therefore, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If it will not open the windows of heaven, wow, for you, and pour down for you a blessing until there's no more need. I want an open heaven. He says, bring it all in here, and I'm going to open up heaven. Test me and try me. Now, how many parents ever said to your kids, do that one more time and see what happens to you? Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. Now, many young parents, or maybe you don't have kids, you say, I'm never going to say that. You will. Okay. It's going to come out. It's going to come out at some point. You're not going to plan for it. You're not going to say, this is the day. It's going to happen. Okay. But you said, do that one more time and see what happens to you. This is God flipping the script saying, go ahead and do this and watch what happens to you. Yeah, go ahead and test me. Test me and try me. Watch what I'm going to do because it's going to be so cool. Try me in this. Test me in this. Let's do this. Just go ahead and do it as an act of faith. Bring it into the storehouse here. I'm going to tell you, in 36 years of marriage, Natalie and I, we tithed before we were married. And so when we got married, it was no big deal. We just decided we're all going to do this. This is where we're going to start. So we just always did. I'm going to tell you, with five kids and not much money and a lot more month than money, okay, I was tested just like you. Just like you. I was like, how's this going to work? But you know what? We always just said, we're going to trust God and call him at his word. And I'm going to tell you what, tithing has produced such peace in my life. Because even now, in my life, right now, you know, there may be decrease, there may be some things happening that's decreased, and I'm going to have to trust and have faith in God, but I have a peace on my heart because God got this. God got this. God got me. And when we give, I'm telling you, it's just such a joy. Like we got paid this week on Thursday, Friday morning. We did our finances together. First thing in the morning, the next day, we do all our finances together. First thing we do, move the decimal point, round up, let's give. Done deal. We give first, and we give our best, because the first belongs to God, not the leftovers. Now, how many of y'all, leftovers, okay, oh my goodness. How many of you know Thanksgiving's coming? If you had to bring Jesus to your house, and Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house to eat, How many of y'all would have them on Thursday or have them for leftovers on Friday? I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not sure how easy he's going to handle my family. That's what some of you are thinking right now. You had that in your head going, I don't know how he's going to handle this. But he's Jesus. He can handle himself. Come on. See, what you, don't you want to give Jesus the best? I mean, if he was at your house Thanksgiving, wouldn't you let him eat first? And if your kids got in front of him, you'd say, you get back here right now. You stay with me. Go ahead, Jesus. Wouldn't you give him the first and the best? Come on, wouldn't you? Or would you say, nah, come Friday, we'll heat it up for you. Whatever we got, we'll kind of put it all together. It'll be good. You want to give him your first, right? It'll be Thanksgiving. I'm going to give him my first. I'm going to give him my best. I'm not going to give him leftovers. I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, we ran out of gravy. You didn't really want gravy, do you? No. Are you tracking me here? See, when you give your first and your best, I want to give to God first. I want to give to him out of joy here. And God keeps proving himself to us over and over and over. God continues to prove himself to us. It's such a joy. I want you to experience joy in life, in a relationship with Jesus. Isn't that what you came to church for? Come on. God can do more with 90% blessed than you can with 100% cursed. I believe that. I believe God can do a lot more with 90% is blessed than me holding on to 100% cursed. Yeah. And we give our first and the best, the rest will be blessed. So we give the first to God. Now open heaven, open heaven. This is where it's going to get really good. Okay, nudge your neighbor. It's going to get good. Just tell them right now. It's going to get good. Okay. What is this thing called an open heaven? What is an open heaven? Glad you asked. Okay. Because it seems like, what's an open heaven? Okay. Now, first of all, how many of you have ever left a door open in the wintertime? How many of y'all know that the heat goes out, cold comes in, right? There's an exchange going on. Okay. And any good dad in the room knows, what are you doing trying to heat the whole neighborhood? How many of y'all have ever heard that one before? Right? But there's an exchange, right? So an open door, something comes out, and then something else goes in. Okay, so you got to track this with an open heaven here. So there's actually more than this, but here's the four here. Open heaven. What's the references of an open heaven? It's an outpouring of more than enough to accomplish God's intended purpose. That's an open heaven. Okay, another one, Psalm. There's about provision. 2 Kings, miraculous deliverance from oppression. I believe in miraculous deliverance from oppression. How many of y'all believe that? I believe that. I believe the word of God. Okay, in Isaiah, overthrowing of God's enemies. I believe in all of those things. Our giving has something to do with an open heaven. I want you to catch this. An open heaven. So God's not putting bars on the doors of heaven. He wants to open heaven, and there's an exchange. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray? Didn't he teach us to pray? On earth as it is in heaven. Did you catch that? We're praying on earth as it is in heaven, and I believe it's attached to an open heaven. So an open heaven is blessings from heaven. What's going on in heaven? I don't know if you know this. There's no worry in heaven. There's no worry. There's ruling and reigning, and Jesus is in charge, and it's a blast. Heaven's great. There's peace in heaven. Okay? There's no calories in heaven. I mean, the streets are made of gold. There's no lack. There's no want. So when we pray on earth as it is in heaven, and we give and we honor God with our first and our best, free will, faith-filled, first fruits, I believe God says, I'm going to be there with an open heaven. Watch what I will do. Couple thoughts for you. I've never seen somebody who tithes complain about money. No, I want that to sink in. I've never seen somebody that tithes and then gives offerings. They're not complainers about money. Well, they probably have so much. No, see, I hear this a lot. Well, when I make more, if I ever hit the lottery, I'm going to tithe. And I look at people all the time and say, no, you won't. No, you won't, because more money is only going to make you more of what you already are. So if you're stingy, you're going to keep being stingy. If you're generous, you'll keep being generous. More money is going to reveal what's in your heart. So more money is just going to reveal what's already in there. Are you tracking that? See, so the tithers don't complain. Tithers have peace in their heart. There's somebody Natalie and I have been working with recently, and I explained what tithing is, explained them what this is, and open heaven and all these things, and they worked through their budget, worked through all the things, and they start tithing. I said, just watch what God will do. Just watch what He'll do. She was trying to get a promotion for some time. I don't know the length of time, so I can't say it. Once, year, I don't know. But she was trying. Shortly after they start tithing, she got that position. I said, watch what God will do. When you honor Him, He honors you. And then one of them got the great opportunity to lose their job. Oh, it doesn't work. No, they just said, you know what? We're still giving. We're still going to tithe. We're still going to give because God is faithful. See, I'm going to tell you this. See, what tithing does for me, it grounds my heart with God. It grounds me. It solidifies. God is in charge. He owns it. It's His. So there's three reasons people don't tithe. Three big reasons. One is there's a lack of discipline. Just don't have a budget. God cares about all your money. God, the church only cares about you. No, we care about you because we want you to have peace. So it's a lack of discipline. You don't know where your money's going. Number two, it's just a lack of knowledge, and that's why I'm communicating like this today. It's a lack of knowledge. What is this thing? I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is and how it works. Or fear of not enough. That's my list. That's not a survey of all the people in a certain area. That's just my list. That's the one I come up with. Okay? That's just what I see there. Those are the three. Okay, let's move to the New Testament quickly. The New Testament focuses on our heart. Matthew chapter 23:23, Jesus' red letters. He's saying, hey, don't be hypocrites. Don't be all these things. Be careful that you tithe on the tiniest income, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. How many of y'all know that justice, mercy, and faith are a big idea? That's a big deal to God, right? Come on. He said, this is Jesus. You should tithe, but do not neglect the more important things. I want you to catch this. If there was ever a moment in Scripture where Jesus had the opportunity to say, I did away with tithing, this was it. This was it right here. He could have just said, after I die and I rise again, you won't have to do this. No, he was saying, it's a heart issue. Do mercy, justice, grace, justice, mercy, and faith, excuse me. And then do that. But like, do it all. And watch what God will do. So right there, Jesus had the opportunity, but he didn't abolish it right there. It's compassion. Let's do both of those. New Testament giving, it's purposeful. I'm going to give on purpose. I'm going to give in proportion to my faith and proportion of what I have. I'm going to give prayerful, and I'm going to plan to do it. Although 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 8, you can read it. I'm not going to read you all the verses, but I'm trying to tell you that when they gave in the New Testament, it was purposeful, it was planned. They intended to do it. They intended to do it. It was like, okay, we're going to have to set our lives up for success here. What are we going to do in our home? What am I going to do in my home? The fact is that 10% for some of you here is a huge, huge sacrifice. I am not, listen, I shop at the same stores you shop for. We're going to have about 20 plus people for dinner on Thursday. And that's a lot more than the two people that normally eat there. Okay, I listen, the same challenges, same struggles, same things. But I'm just going to choose to ground my faith in God. I'm going to be grounded in God. And I'm going to honor Him. And then offerings are on top of the 10. Because that's what I believe God honors. I want to be generous. You know why? Because I serve a generous God. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You got to decide in your heart how much to give. Free will. right? Free will. You got to decide in your heart. You got to decide in your heart how much to give, and don't be reluctantly or in response to pressure. Like, don't give, oh, take it. Or in response of emotion. Don't be emotional. Be prayerful. God, what are you asking us to do? Many people in this room right now, you're going to have conversations with friends, maybe in your home. Hey, what are we going to stand for? What are we going to do with this? What are we really going to do with this? There's a challenge of faith. And we're going to be people of faith and really believe God and hold hands and jump together. Or are we just going to be ruled by reluctancy or response and fear and all these things? For God loves a person who gives what? Cheerfully. Not begrudgingly. My God has so much in heaven for me. He has so much in heaven for you. So, so much here. We just want to build your faith. That's why we're doing this. It's just building faith. What's the point? I'm going to tell you what's the point. It's so much more than only lights on and student ministry happening here. I want to see Pastor Eric and Rachel blessed. I don't want to see them stressed out. I want to see, listen, I know we're not, because we live in southwestern Pennsylvania, we have this thing intrinsically in us. We don't want people to get ahead. We do. It's in there. But I want to see them blessed. I want to see them not just get by. I want to see them have more than enough. And how do they do that? When people come together to the storehouse and give free will, faith-filled first fruits. And watch what God will do. That's just one of the points. But we set an open heaven, right? Provision, oppression released, right? Okay. Let's look at one more here. Luke 16:10. I'll give you one more thing, and then I'm going to be all done. Okay, how many of you are understanding the Bible today? Come on, how many of you getting more knowledge in the Word of God? Okay, good deal. Red letters, Jesus talking. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. I was faithful with the $8 and the $10, the $12. I worked up to $20-some. I worked up to $35. I worked up to, $8.60 an hour, my first job. I was so excited. I was a rich man. And work up. So you see, you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. Just put it in your life right now, okay? If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? True riches. You really can't look at true riches in the Bible and find an exact chapter and verse. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe true riches are people who have love, joy, and peace in the midst of chaos. Can't buy that, can you? Can't buy that. You can't buy love and joy and a peace of heart. You can't buy kindness. You can't buy any of that. I believe true riches are an open heaven. Provision, protection, release from oppression. I believe in that. So what's the point? It's an open heaven and true riches. I want true riches in my life. And I want this church to have true riches. I want this place to be a place where you're overwhelmed with how much God does for you. Overwhelmed. I'm already praying. There's so many people here that they come and they sit in your seat. And they make you move. I am. Because we're going to find out whose seat it really is. Does it belong to God or you? See what I did there? No, I'm serious. I want an open heaven and I want true riches. And I want things that God, that money can't buy. I'm going to be faithful in a little. I get more. So what I want you to do is this. I'm challenging your thought process. And when you get paid, give God the first and the best. Because I'm telling you, if you wait till leftovers, it doesn't happen. I'm just like you. I'm just like you. Do I need to get disciplined with all of my finances? Yes, I need to live by a budget. Natalie and I, we're working on next year's budget. We're already working on next year's budget. We need to confirm our Christmas budget, what we're going to live by. This is what we live by. Because I want to have a plan and have peace in my heart and my mind. Would you stand to your feet just with me here? How many of y'all how many of y'all would like to worship in a place that has an open heaven and true riches? How many of y'all would like that? Okay, now, there's many people in the room right now. You're struggling. You're like, man, I want to believe it. I'm just not sure. There's no condemnation for he who is in Christ. But I believe the grace of God is going to empower you, and he's going to empower you in a really big way. I believe that. And I'm declaring right now that this church, this place, is going to be a place that has more than enough, according to Malachi 3. This is going to be a place with an open heaven and true riches. Can you say amen to that? So Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here today, Lord God, that's struggling, maybe going through some tensions about like giving and tithing, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you're going to grant them the grace, the ability to respond, Lord God. And I pray, Father, right now for every person in the room, you know who they are. They're just living under a curse. They're living under curse. Their finances are cursed. Lord, free them up. Free them up to joy. Free them up to life, Lord God. Free them up to see you and experience you in a really real way, Lord God. Lord God, no condemnation. Lord God, just let there be freedom all over this place, all over this church. Freedom, God. I speak freedom, 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 Lord God. Lord God, thank you, Father, for that. Now, just in this attitude of worship right now, right here, I want to ask you a serious question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Before you give your money, he wants your life. Have you given your heart? Have you said, Jesus, be the forgiver of my past. I have sinned. I have fallen short. And if you want a relationship with God the Father today through what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, you came to the right place, because that's what we do here. We invite people into a relationship with God the Father. And if you've never done that, you've never had a date or a time where you said, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, and release me, God, to live in my future. Release me to be a follower of you, Lord God. I want a relationship. If you've never done that, this is what I want you to do real joyfully and take this step of faith. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith right now, right where you are. If that's you here today and you say, I would love that relationship with Jesus, just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. Anybody in the house today, you're just saying, you know what, Pastor, that's me today. Anybody here today, you're saying, oh, that's me. I need that relationship. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for every person here today, Lord God, that knows you. And if you're here right now and you were like, man, I want to raise my hand, but I'm not sure, you can use your phone. And there's a card on the seat in front of you. And you can hold your phone up to there and use that tap card. And on there, it's like, begin a relationship with Jesus. You can fill that out. And Pastor Eric's going to pray for you tomorrow. He's going to pray for you the next day. He's going to pray for you the day after that. And together, we're going to watch God do some really awesome, cool things. So God, thank you, Lord God, for this house. Thank you, Lord God, for all you are doing. Thank you, Lord God, for an open heaven and true riches. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, if you could all be seated for a few moments, Pastor Eric's going to come up here and share some really super awesome things that I'm going to say amen to. Amen? Hey, thanks for being so awesome.
And thank you so much, Pastor Rick. What a great, great message. Hey, we can give God a hand. Thank you so much.